Miss Agu printed everything is dead because she's a language arts teacher, so she couldn't help herself. But the title is Everything Dead. You know, when I asked what the aim and motto was for this class, when I read the text, I got so excited deep down on the inside. The aim is, watch out, world, here we come. And the motto is, with God's unlimited power, we have unlimited possibilities. As God began to download this word on me, I said, God, this is a big word. This is a grown-up kind of word. God, can I say something else, God? Because this feels a little big. I said, they're only 13 and 14, God. Can I say something different? Can I say it a little differently? And he said to me, I want to speak this word to them before they get set in some foolish Christian ways. He said, I want to grab hold of them and drop this word into their spirit so that when they come up against some hard things in life, they'll know exactly what to do. So I want you to know that this word is going to feel a little grown up, but it's for you. God spoke this word to me for you. And when I got your motto, I got excited because I said, okay, God, I see what you're doing here. And so all I could linger on in your motto was power and possibilities. Let us pray. God, you ordained this moment before I was formed in my mother's womb. You ordered this moment for your people that we could hear from you. So God, the anointing has already been given. Now I ask for the hot coal for my lips. And I pray, oh God, that everything that comes forth from my mouth would be issued from heaven and that it would find soft hearts to penetrate. Oh God, how we love you for speaking to us. You're so great and so mighty, but you stop and condescend to speak to us. So thank you, God, and your servants, your children, your people, your friends, we are listening. So speak, Lord, and do not disappoint in Jesus' name. Amen. Can anybody see what this is? Graduates, can you see what it is? Say it nice and loud. It's an acorn. I hold an acorn in my hand, and really what I hold in my hand is possibilities. I hold an oak tree in my hand. I hold the possibilities for squirrels to have a family and live in an oak tree. I hold the possibility for caterpillars to lay out on broad leaves. I hold possibility for mice to find food. I hold possibility for snakes to curl up under leaves. I hold possibilities in my hand. And right now it's just a little acorn, but there are so many possibilities. As I lingered on your motto, all I could hear was power and possibilities. And God caused me to look at the world I live in, and I saw power and possibilities. And when I looked at the wealthy and those who are in power, the politicians, I saw limitless possibilities. And it appeared that when I looked into impoverished communities, I didn't see that many possibilities. So it seemed to me that there's a direct correlation between power and possibilities. So many people are walking this world, and because they have no power, they think they have no possibilities. But I got excited when I saw your motto because I said 13 and 14, maybe 15-year-olds know that if they serve a God with unlimited power, then they have unlimited possibilities. It seemed to me that eighth graders knew that no matter what they were faced with in life, no matter what they come against, because they have unlimited power at their fingertips, they have unlimited possibilities. But I began to ask God, why are so many people walking around without this powerful information? Why is it that so many people seem not to know how many possibilities they have? He said, Shari, that's because the enemy has plans.
Just as God has plans for you, just as there are limitless possibilities, just as he's called your purpose out when he called your name out before you were in the womb, just as God has plans to prosper you, the enemy has plans to destroy you. And he knows that if he can cause you not to know the power of God, or if he can cause you to forget the power of God, then he has you right where he wants you. So I said, God, how can we neutralize what the enemy is trying to do? What can we do to make sure we never forget that we have unlimited power at our fingertips? What can we do to make sure we never forget the power of God and never miss out on our possibilities? God took me to Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. Please go there with me at this time. I will read in your hearing Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. Verse 8, I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. God is making love to his people now. He's promising them, this is what I will do for you. His people's response threw me for a loop. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. I want you to know that the enemy's tactics to neutralize God's power in our lives by causing us to forget it, that his tactics are always the same. Discouragement and distraction by hard labor. Oh, these Israelites were prime and ready to be delivered. God was about to move. His arm was about to get going in Egypt. And he told his people, get ready because I'm going to do it. And those people looked at Moses and said, no, 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 we ain't trying to hear all that. And you know why they said this? They said this because Pharaoh had said, I'm going to up your quota and I'm not even going to give you straw. So now they were distracted by harsh labor and their slavery had them discouraged. And so God had dropped in their spirit 7 promises of what he would do by his might and his power. And they could not hear him or believe him because of discouragement and distraction by harsh labor. I want you to know, young people, as you go through life, the same tactics that enemy has been using back in the Bible days is the same tactics he's going to be using against you. And don't think that I'm one of those grown-ups that think because you're young, you don't face discouragement. When I was 13, I was in love with someone who didn't know I existed. That's discouragement. And now while in hindsight, I know I shouldn't have been dating, but I thought I loved him with my whole being. He didn't even know I existed. He wasn't checking for me. And so from the time... For 10 years, I loved him. We dated on and off. But every time I realized he doesn't love me, it was discouraging. And so I want you to know that the enemy, he's going to be using discouragement on you. But today we're going to talk about how to neutralize him and set him down to sit down somewhere. See, the enemy wants you to forget that God's power is unlimited. He wants to make sure you don't know this piece of information and that as you come against hard things in life, you try to fix it yourself or you'll get discouraged and wallow in foolishness. But God says, my power is unlimited, so your possibilities are unlimited. He wants you to remember it, but the devil has plans for you to forget it. Today we're going to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And if you would go there now, we're going to look at Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah and see how they decided to handle discouragement. Chapter 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 says, after this. So you know I said, after what? When a passage of scripture starts with after this, you need to go back and see after what to get the full context of what God is doing and saying. And so here it is. I went back. After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, with some of the Maonites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. After this, after what? After a failed war. You see, Jehoshaphat had decided to join hands with the king of Israel and go out to war against some other folk, but God was not in it. And they went out there and they got their tails beat and had to run home with their tails tucked between their legs. And when Jehoshaphat got home, God says chapter 19, the first three verses, he says, what do you think you were doing going out to a war that I never ordained? Who do you think you are? But nevertheless, you've done some good things, and so I'm going to let you live. But the good things that Jehoshaphat had done, that's the after this I want to focus on. You see, Jehoshaphat went through Judah, and he ripped down all the idols, the Asherah poles. And he said, no, we're not going to be worshiping idols anymore. And after he took down all the poles, he appointed priests of the Levites, the only people God had called to be priests. And he said, listen, here's what I want you to do. In chapter 19, he gave them orders in verse 9. You must serve faithfully and wholeheartedly in the fear of the Lord. You are to warn them not to sin against the Lord. Otherwise, his wrath will come upon you and your people. Do this and you will not sin. Jehoshaphat was trying to create an atmosphere in Judah where people fell down and worshiped only the true God. And he was in a long line of kings that had done all manner of foolishness. But Jehoshaphat stepped up to the plate and said, for me and my house, and whilst this is my kingdom, we will serve the Lord. I want you to know that it's after this that three armies, not one, three armies, how many?
Three
armies decide to join power and come against him after this. I want you to know that today you have stood in this place and proclaimed that your motto is with a God with unlimited power, we have unlimited possibilities. I want you to know that after this, oh, the enemy is trying to get into this place and mark your faces and see who you are, because after this, you proclaim that you know the power of God and you know that that power gives you limitless possibilities. So after this, babies. And this is why God said, speak this word to them. It's not an easy word, but I need you to say it to them, because after this, after this, these three armies came against them. And now we're just going to talk about four things you can do when the enemy comes with his old, tired, cheesy tactics of discouragement and distraction by harsh labor. The four things that you can do to neutralize him and make him get somewhere and sit down. Amen. Verse 3. After people told Jehoshaphat that these armies were assembled against him and waiting for him all already in a spot, waiting to devour the people of Judah. Alarmed, verse 3, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. That brother said, let's pray. Let us pray. He didn't say, get the army. We got to get the chariots. Get it. He said, let us pray. And those who can manage it, let us fast. Jehoshaphat inquired of the Lord, when you come up against the enemy's tactics of discouragement and distraction by hard labor, the first thing you ought to do, and the last thing you ought to do, and the middle thing you ought to do, and the everything you ought to do is inquire of the Lord. Amen. Oftentimes as Christians, we think, I can handle it. If I can just sit down and come up with a plan, if I can just get a calculator and balance these books, if I can just. But God says, don't try to figure it out. Just inquire of me. Just ask me, say, Daddy, what should I do? And I want you to know that your daddy is waiting to tell you just what to do. Let me tell you something about my Jesus. When I decided to be a stay-at-home mom, it was not because I just wanted to be at home. I was a teacher with a flourishing ministry and career. But God began to weigh upon me that I needed to be at home with my child. And when my husband and I sat down and worked it out, there were at least two bills every month that would never get paid. At least two. On some months, it was three. But at least two. And my husband said, we can't do this. This doesn't make any sense. There's too much red on this paper. But let me tell you about my God. I went to be at home. My child's health began to thrive. We never missed a bill. We always paid the tithe. We never went hungry. Oh, hallelujah. I can think of days when I went into my cupboard and said, God, there's nothing, but you told me to be here. So in the name of Jesus, I'm gonna need some food today, God. Yes, I would inquire of the Lord when I came up against discouragement. I've got a three-year-old. God, I need these cupboards to be filled. Ding dong. People would show up to my house with 2 weeks' worth of groceries. People would put envelopes in my hand full of money and say, I hope this keeps your car moving. Oh, God provided every single time. So when I tell you to inquire of the Lord, I'm not just telling you because it's in here. I'm telling you because it's in here. When you come up against hard things in life, go to your daddy. He's waiting to hear from you. He knew the problem before the enemy hatched it. He knew the problem before the enemy hatched it. And he had the solution before you were thought of. The Bible says in Isaiah that before you're finished speaking, he is already answering. That's the power you have at your fingertips. That's what gives you possibilities. Whew. Y'all gonna make me shout in here. Huh? Y'all gonna make me shout. The next thing you do after you inquire of the Lord is when he speaks, believe what he says. Please, Jesus. So many of us go to God and say, well, God, what should I do? And he said, just stand still. And you say, well, let me go ahead and do this. Let me prepare that. If God says stand still, stand still. And we ought to believe what God says. And how do I know that Jehoshaphat and the people believe what God said? I'm going to read to you what God said because it's a doozy. Chapter 20, verse 15. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is after the Holy Spirit falls on Jehaziel. He stands up in the midst of the whole crowd to prophesy. And he says, do not be afraid or dismayed. My version says discouraged. You see, God knew that the enemy was coming against them with discouragement. He says, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. Let me tell you something about my Jesus. He says to them, they will be climbing up. He tells them where these folk are going to be. Oh, y'all are, I'm going to just shout by myself. Hey, I wish I had two people that are excited about the fact that God is going to keep you two steps ahead of your enemies. Oh, I wish you were as excited as I am. Oh, hallelujah. When I read this and saw, God told them exactly where those busters were gonna be. Oh, I wanted to shout out loud. And I did. My husband was like, what are you doing? I was shouting. And so here it is. He says, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm. I believe the King James says, stand still. And I like that. I like that version. Stand still. Do not move. Take up your positions and stand and see. Just watch. Don't do nothing. Don't do anything. I'm sorry. Don't do anything. Just watch what I'm about to do. Hallelujah. Oh, I got somebody that God been and did something for. Hallelujah. Yes. Listen, when God does something for you, you're excited down on the inside. And you just want to shout about it all the time. Hallelujah. And so after God speaks through Jahaziel and says all of that, the Bible says, this is how I know Jehoshaphat believed. The Bible says, Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped. Did anybody bring word that the army had left?
No.
Did anybody say that they went home, they decided they don't want to fight y'all anymore?
No,
but just at the word of God, because God said it and they believed it, they began to worship. They believed the word that God had spoken in that place. And I want you to know that God will speak through someone.
Yes.
He will talk to you through someone.
Yes.
But I want you to know, babies, the people your age don't know much about anything. I want you to know, babies, you have so much life to live. If you want some good, wise advice, go to some folk a little bit older than your peers. Just a little bit. Not a whole lot. Just a little. Like if you want to know how to get through high school, talk to a high school senior. Don't talk to an eighth grader graduating with you about it. They don't know nothing about it. All right? And so I want you to know that that's number three. Seek wise counsel. Seek wise counsel so you can get that confirmation from the Lord that this is what he's asking you to do. This is what Jehoshaphat did. He's the king. He didn't have to ask anybody anything. But it says in verse 21, after consulting the people. So Jehoshaphat went, and I want you to know that you need to go and get wise counsel. I know your parents get on your nerves. I know they do, because when I was your age, mine got on mine. But I want you to know that I would not be the woman I am today without that woman over there. I want you to know that even though they're always harping on you and bothering you and grounding you and, in my case, beating you, right? Even though all of that is going on, God placed them in your life to guide you with wisdom from above. And not just your parents, you will have teachers, you will have other mentors, but always seek wise counsel. When you go to folks your age, the counsel is limited because they've only lived as long as you have. So go ahead and find somebody that's got maybe a gray hair or two. two. All right. That's the third. So far, help me recap. I want to see if you're following me. What's the first thing we ought to do when discouragement and distraction hit? Inquire of the Lord. Awesome, you're with me. What's the second thing we need to do? We need to believe what he says when we hear from God. And what's the third thing we need to do? Seek wise counsel. And this last number four thing that we ought to do when discouragement and distraction seeks to take us out. This last thing that we ought to do, you're going to think I'm a little crazy, and people might think you're a little crazy, and that's all right, because we ought to praise him in advance. Amen. We ought to praise God in advance for what he said he would do. Let me put you in on a little secret that God just pinched me and told me this the other day. In Genesis, when he was creating the world, how did he create it? He spoke and it was. He spoke and it was. I want you to know that if God tells you something, it already is. I want you to know that when God speaks, it is. It may not have materialized before your eyes in our time and space, but when God speaks, it is. He breathes life. What comes from God, he creates just by speaking. So when God drops a promise into your spirit, when he tells you there's something he's going to do for you, when he tells you there's some place he's going to bring you to, when he tells you there's a class he's going to help you pass, when he tells you that you're going to get a phenomenal career and job, when he promises you something, it already is. What do we do when we get blessed? What do we do when God blesses us? We praise him. We shout glory, hallelujah. But I come to you today to tell you that when God speaks, it is. So you ought to praise him before you get that thing. You ought to shout glory, hallelujah. You ought to give God what he's worthy of, because you believe he's going to do exactly what he says. Oh, I got excited about this word as Jehoshaphat was getting ready to go and meet three armies. It does not talk about his soldiers. Woo, hallelujah. Jehoshaphat speaks to the people. He consults with the people, and then he appoints men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army. Let me ask y'all something. How many of you, if President Obama calls now and says, we need a praise team to go ahead and go out so that we can catch ISIS? How many of y'all gonna say, I'll bring up the front? I'll go up front and praise. These men were appointed to go out and praise before the army. This tells me that these folk knew it wasn't going to be their army that was going to win this war. Oh, and I get excited as I continue reading. As they began to sing and praise. It does not say that when they're halfway through the song. It doesn't say when they hit the bridge. It doesn't say when they're doing the encore. It says, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah. Ooh, And these ambushes he set. First, Moab and Ammon turned against each other and fought and killed each other. And then whoever was left from that turned on the men. men in Mount Seir and fought and killed them. Have you ever heard of an army going out and killing themselves? I don't know how that hits you. I don't know what that makes you feel, but as they began to sing and praise, the Lord dropped a cloud of confusion and the enemy turned on themselves and took care of themselves. The Bible says that when the people of Judah went out, everything dead. When they looked out on the plain where this vast army was coming against them, everything dead. Nothing was left standing. Everything dead. Those bills you can't pay, dead. That boss that is on your last nerve, sorry, but dead. That struggle with that sin that just keeps on easily besetting you, dead, 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 everything dead. Oh, my Lord, I begin to shout when I think about the possibilities that the power of my God affords me, that no matter what I'm facing, dead. As I was preparing this word, the enemy has been coming against me with discouragement and distraction. But in the name of Jesus, I declare, dead! Everything dead! Y'all are sitting here and you're getting a word, but I just came to tell you that this is a word for me. Oh, as I was preparing this sermon, all manner of foolishness breaking out in my extended family. All manner of foolishness. People dying that I love. All manner of foolishness. But God said, if you just remember about my power. And when he took me into this word and showed me that the very word I need to speak to you is the word he's speaking to me. Everything dead. In front of you, there will be discouragement. High school gets harder than elementary and junior high. College gets still harder than that. Your master's is going to be harder than that. Juggling ministry in school is going to be harder than that. But every discouragement, every distraction, every tool and tactic of the enemy is dead. Those people of Judah walked out, and when they saw everything dead, they said, oh, I'll take that. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you for that. Yeah, I'm gonna need this. They collected the spoils of a war they never fought. Come on in here, y'all. They went out, picked up jewelry and all manner of trinkets for a war they never fought. I'm trying to tell you that as Christians, we are out here working and slaving, and God is saying, why don't you just stand still and let me take care of it and then go pick up the spoils of war. We out here tiring ourselves out, trying everything we can, and daddy is just up there going, oh baby, I just Baby, I want to give you, but you're so full with everything else that there's no room for me to bless you. You're doing so much that I can't even find where you're at to bless you. You're running hither and yon. And God is saying, stand still and then walk into your possibilities. I want you to know that a long, long time ago, a father said to his son, "Son, I have a big job. I have a really big job." And he told his son what it entailed, and he said, "Will you go? Will you do it?" And he said, "Yes, Daddy, I'll do it." And that son left all the glory of heaven, all the glory of the beings he had created. And he came down as a little baby, helpless, powerless, to give you possibilities. And he grew up and he grew in grace and favor with God and man. And all the time when he was 13 and 14 and 15, he never sinned, to give you possibilities. And just before his ministry was to begin, he fasted for 40 days. And when he was weak and hungry and delirious, he turned down power and food to give you possibilities. And all throughout his ministry, he gave of himself. He spent long days just giving to God's people. He did this to give you possibilities. And when the time came, an army came to grab hold of him, and he had done nothing wrong, but he let them take him to give you possibilities. And when they had hold of him, they beat him, they opened his back up, they spit in his face, they jammed a crown of thorns on his head, and he let them do it. He could have emptied heaven to come to his rescue, but he let them do it so that you could have possibilities. He carried a cross on his open back all the way up a hill so that you could have possibilities. And when he got up on that hill, they nailed him to the cross. And the excruciating pain he felt was not so much from the nail, but from the separation from his daddy. All he wanted to know was that his father was there, but he couldn't feel him. He endured that separation for you, so that you could have possibilities. And when it was all said and done, and he felt his life force fading, he gave up his last breath and commended it to the Father, so that you could have possibilities. He gave up all his power for your possibilities. And that day, when he took his last breath and he was dead, everything that comes against you is dead. Everything the enemy tries is dead, because Jesus died for your possibilities. Before your parents even knew one another, God knew you. Amen. He called out your name, and he attached a purpose to your life. And in that little baby he formed, there were possibilities. The only way to grab hold of your possibilities is to grab hold of a hand that has unlimited power.
graduating class of 2015, if it is your desire to never forget the power and the love of your God, to walk into your limitless possibilities, please stand to your feet at this time. Miss Agu is going to come around with acorns for you. And if it is your desire to never forget all the possibilities, you are an oak tree. You may be an acorn now, but you're an oak tree. And God wants to do some amazing things in your life, but you'll only be able to do those things if you hold on to the hand of an unlimited God. As soon as you all have your acorns, we're going to pray. I want you to keep that somewhere. Tie a string to it. Hang it on your wall. Keep that somewhere where you'll always see it and remember, I am a possibility because I serve a God with unlimited power. If you remember nothing else, when the enemy comes against you, as he will, because after this, he's going to come against you. But he doesn't have power.
Amen.
He has to ask God's permission. You hear what I'm saying to you? He has to ask God's permission to get at you. You serve a God with unlimited power. Inquire of him. Anything you face, everything you face, whether good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, go to God first. Believe what he says. Allow his word to be confirmed through wise counsel, and then shout and praise God in advance for what he is going to do. I'm looking out and I see possibilities. I see lawyers and doctors and nurses and preachers. I think I may even see some politicians. Some good ones, some good politicians. But I see limitless possibilities. I see people who are going to change the world. Father, before you stand possibilities that you created. God, we thank you so much for fooling with us. We know we're not worthy. We know we're undeserving. We know that you shouldn't even have time to deal with us. But God, we're grateful. And as these young people stand here, I know that you have walked out and ordained their steps that they would walk into possibilities that are unlimited. And I thank you, God. I place a covering over their lives even right now. And I ask that you would place a hedge about them, oh God. And as the enemy rage, that he would never even get close to them. That you would preserve them, that they might walk out the purpose you called according to their lives from the very beginning, God. We love you so much. Help them never to forget your unlimited power and your unlimited love. So that they will always recognize they have unlimited possibilities. And God, as they come up against hard things, remind them that everything died at that cross and nothing can come against them if their God is for them. We love you and we thank you, and I commend these young people into your hands, oh God. We praise you and we give you honor and glory for speaking to us today. Seal their souls for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.